Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday, everybody, and we welcome you back to Scottsdale and the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, where tomorrow the Nittany Lion football team will be in action taking on Washington in the Fiesta Bowl. 4 o'clock Eastern time will be the kickoff. We'll be on the air at 2:30. Of course, we're out here in Arizona where it's mountain time, so the kickoff here is actually 2 tomorrow mountain time, but 4 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow, and we'll be on the air with the pregame show, the Dietz and Watson tailgate show, beginning at 2:30 tomorrow. Jack Hammond, Derek Williams, Roger Corey joining me on the broadcast tomorrow. In fact, Jack and Derek are going to join me on the show today, along with Bob Rondo and Damon Heward from the Washington Network. Today's show from Scottsdale, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Look, here it is. We're getting to New Year's Eve coming up this weekend. You got Penn State football tomorrow. Well, you got the Cotton Bowl tonight. You got USC and Ohio State tonight. And you've got the Fiesta Bowl tomorrow, the Orange Bowl's tomorrow night, the NFL's coming up on Sunday, and then, of course, it's New Year's Eve, and then New Year's Day, you've got the Citrus Bowl, the Outback Bowl, you've got the Peach Bowl, you've got, and then the two semifinal games, the Rose Bowl, Oklahoma, Georgia, and the Sugar Bowl, Clemson and Alabama, round three, coming up on Monday night, New Year's night. So you need to be fully stocked, and this is the perfect day to go do it. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The Pickle Bar, all together now, is indeed second to none. Love the barrels, love the dills, even from two time zones away. All right. Big show coming up today. Big show we had yesterday. We enjoyed that. Now, today we're going to have a lot of fun. The broadcasters that will bring you the game on the respective networks. We will have Bob Rondo, 37th season, and his final game announcing Washington football coming up tomorrow. His color analyst is Damon Heward. Played in the NFL for 8 years. Former Washington quarterback. Yes, this is Brock Heward's brother. He's the analyst on the Washington Network. We'll have him as well. Derek Williams, our sideline reporter, and, of course, Jack Hamm. That's what we have for today's lineup. It is great to have you with us in the Sunbury Motors Studio Mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Coming up, we go to the sideline. Derek Williams will talk to us in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back to Scottsdale, Sunbury Motors Studio Mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the Pickle Bar is indeed second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. Coming up in the next half hour, Damon Heward, color analyst for the Washington Network. Next hour, Bob Rondo, the play-by-play voice of Washington football. And in the final half hour, Jack Hamm. This half hour, he's done a brilliant job and has really fit in so well with our team. Our sideline reporter, Derek Williams. Derek, I know we're going out to dinner tonight. Looking forward to it very much. And happy holidays. Happy New Year to you. Great to hear you, my friend.
I know. I'm doing great. I know you're enjoying your little, well, it's not even a break for you, but a break from you for football a little bit. I'm enjoying it right now.
Can you define, by the way, before we move on to Penn State, what a catch is in the National Football League? Because you played in the NFL. Can you define for us what a catch is in the National Football League?
I tell you what, that was the worst call I've ever seen. I you know, I'm shocked that that was ruled an incomplete there. You know, it was a great game, but he needed to give Jesse James that touchdown there because it definitely was. And then he had the intention of crossing the goal line. He caught the ball and then went over. So I don't understand that at all.
You've always watched the game from field level, whether in the pros, high school, or in college. So you're still down at field level. When you look at Saquon Barkley from field level, based on all the different levels you played at, what do you see with him?
You know, I tell everybody this. That's probably, you know, one of the top two players I've ever seen with my own two eyes. And that's just me. You know, I believe that, you know, college career-wise, it definitely matches up with like a Reggie Bush. Just the explosion, the leadership that he shows on the sidelines, just all around. You know, I've never seen anybody do it the way that he's doing it right now.
All right, now the next part is let's talk about Miles Sanders. You've had a chance now to watch him, not as many reps as Saquon, but what are you seeing in him?
Well, I call him Booby Miles.
That's
but,
right.
With Booby, I think that he's, I would almost say, a stronger runner. Saquon can put a move on and, you know, he's going up. I think Miles can, you know, give you those tough yards. I'm not saying that Saquon is not doing that, but he can give you some very tough yards. He's a physical runner there. I don't think that it'll be missing a beat. That's if Saquon leaves, no one knows yet.
Right. Obviously, nobody does know yet. The Tommy Stevens in the Lions spot. You know, the versatility he brings to the table. You brought a lot of versatility to the table. So let me take you back to when you played, Derek. What, you know, we talk about a playbook being open and certain responsibilities. How much more did you have to learn based on the various spots that you had to play in?
You know, to do all those, really, as a team, yourself a different period during practice. So, you know, the player can get around and focus on his responsibility because it's definitely different. But the thing that Tommy brings, you know, to be a backup quarterback or and to show that his athletic ability is something that needs to be on the field. I mean, that's kudos to him, but you have to get your best 11 on the field, and he's one of the best 11 in every position.
Well, that brings me to the next question. Because he is a quarterback and has to know, does that help him on his learning curve?
Oh, I mean, as a receiver, you kind of know. And you see this transition all the time with the NFL where guys play quarterback and go out to receiver. Some guys go to running back. That's cool enough. But you know all you know where you're supposed to be. You're probably the best friend to the quarterback because what he's thinking, you already have that same mind.
We lost Eric there for 1 second. We may
well,
have
working
there
the
he is.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead, Derek.
I said that with that, you know, you see you as a quarterback, what will work in the scheme there.
Yeah, exactly. He does have that ability to do that. Now, when you look at Penn State schematically in offense, obviously Ricky Ronnie's going to take over as the offensive coordinator, already has. I mean, he's already implementing what he wants to do. When you look at the pass game and think about the pass game that you played in, what are some of the similarities, Derek, and what are some of the differences between what we saw from 05 to 08 to what we're seeing now in the pass game?
I mean, they're so wide open right now. You know, they're giving these guys a lot of chances here.
I think we lost him again there. What we'll do is we'll call him back here and get him back on the line. Still have a few more questions for him to talk with him about as Penn State gets ready for Washington. That will be in the Fiesta Bowl. Washington and Penn State both coming in with 10-2 records. Washington led by quarterback Jake Browning, Miles Gaskin, Dante Pettis, defensively by Vita Vea. Of course, Penn State, you know their cast as well, led by Trace McSorley and company. And now we've been able to get Derek Williams back on the line. And Derek, I was talking about the pass games between the two, between 05, 08 to what you're seeing now. You're talking about how wide open this pass game is.
Yeah, they're giving these guys option routes and everything. In 05, we didn't have option routes. And what that transitions to is when you're in the NFL, I mean, that same terminology is being used there where these guys are reading coverages. These guys are, you know, just having the option of doing different things to get themselves open. And you know, with Trace being back there, he giving these guys a lot of chances with these 50-50 balls. You know, so it's an exciting offense to be in, especially when you have that guy back there at quarterback, or you have Tommy, and then you have the running back dynamics that we have. It, you know, it's a lot of things that people can't focus on.
You're as fine a kick returner as this university has ever turned out. Penn State's going to see one of the top punt returners. He's not a kickoff return guy. He hasn't returned kickoffs, but one of the finest punt returners. When you've looked at Dante Pettis, what makes him a great punt returner?
The ability to make someone miss and get downfield. That's what punt return is. You know, it's a thing where it's probably one of the scariest positions in the world, but, it's somewhere where if you have that ability to be great, just like we have a great one, too. You know, if you can just move, if you can get one person out the way, you can change the whole momentum of the whole game there.
No question. And you always talk, you made an interesting comment when Jack Ham asked you about this on the broadcast one day, about what do you do to determine whether to bring a punt back. And you talked about you try to take that quick glance at what kind of release the gunner got, right?
Yeah, so you're looking at the gunners. Those are the guys that can first affect you there. You know, you see if they get a clean release or not, and then you check it. And if they're doubled up, if they're, you know, if it's something where they're off, that kind of tells you how much time you have there. We have some great gunners, especially with, what's the kid, number 11? Charles, yeah. Urban Charles. You know, Urban Charles has done a great job. And, you know, I think that, you know, on special teams, he's probably one of our key special teams guys, especially with the gunners, because he's changing our momentum down there, too, not giving these guys a chance there. So it's definitely going to be a big, big responsibility on our gunners to get down the field and to make a play, you know. And one thing that I was taught later on was, as a gunner, you're supposed to go and you're supposed to determine, not chop your feet, determine what a returner is supposed to do. You dive across the body, even if you don't even get that, even if you don't get that tackle, you know, it's still affecting where you'll give these guys enough time to come down there and be able to fill the position in a good field position there.
Can Blake Gilligan control this guy in some ways by how he punts the ball?
Oh, most definitely. Hang time is key. You know, you want to get some good hang time, because with hang time it comes, you know, your gunners, it comes, you know, the center that's coming down there. You need to have some great hang time and not outkick your coverage. Most people will look at it and be like, "Whoa, he kicked 60 yards!" But if you outkick your coverage, that could be dangerous as well.
No question, because now everything sets up, and you've got momentum. That's part of the other part. People don't realize the momentum. That's why you see kickoff return guys, like, they'll back up, catch it, and then start running. It's like, no, you want to run forward, don't you?
Yep.
It's like a center fielder, like Dante Pettis' dad would have played Gary Pettis in the outfield. He wanted to throw a guy out of the plate. He wanted forward momentum.
Yep, you see it all. Look at the kick returners. Most of them are starting all the way back at the back of the end zone and seeing where that ball is going to be placed and try to run up with momentum there, because it kind of times out a lot better just with how the guys are blocking and everything like that, and how it was set up with the kick return that they have there. So it's a lot of attention going to that in the next level. Some needs to be moved more back into college, because you'll see guys catching a flat foot are coming backwards. It's nothing good that's going to come out of that.
You are, in my opinion, of the three of us out there, I think you have the toughest job, because you're the one that has to fit information into a very short window before giving it back to Big Mouth and the guy that knows what he's talking about. So, I mean, what has it taken for you to adjust to that kind of role, and how much have you enjoyed it?
I mean, I love it, you know, especially being with you guys. You guys give me a hard time, but I love that stuff. it's just having that eye out that you normally would have on the field. Still kind of looking at the keys that I would look at. I always look at the safeties, what kind of coverage you're running in, and what layers of the game. I love it to death. It's something where, you know, I don't know if you guys can feel the adrenaline as much as I can when I'm down there, especially when, you know, change of possessions or just how the game is going. It's a definitely great feeling, and you kind of can tell when something big is going to happen.
Was it because I'm screaming? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Steve's screaming about something, guys. How much has it helped you to do this and stay connected with the game and stay connected with the program and with the team to be on the sideline like that?
Oh, it's big time. You know, right now, my profession right now is in medical sales.
Right.
I would venture to say that I only know about 20% of it. But, you know, when, once I get back on the field, I feel like I'm at home and, you know, I'm knowledgeable about what I'm doing, and it's something that I love.
Now, here it is, a couple of years into this now and working with us. They've been able to win 21 games the last 2 years, 19 of their last 22. When everything happened a few years ago, did you envision that Penn State could get to a point where they won 19 out of 22 games in 16 and 17 of all years?
I didn't think it was going to come this quick, but with the coach that we have, with Coach Franklin being there, I knew something great was going to happen. You know, and I just didn't believe it would be that fast. But all the pieces fell in the right place. You know, I believe in the football gods, and I believe that they're on our side right now. And, you know, it's showing in our program when coaches and everything are getting higher, when kids are transferring, when different things are happening, that means, hey, it's a lot of competition there and some great coaching there. So, you know, if you look at all of the top programs and we're one of the top, it happens everywhere. So you should know that we're on the track to being, you know, even better than what we are now.
In the area you live in, how is Penn State doing, especially with younger people there? Is, you know, especially in your area, because there's a lot of talent down in your area.
Honestly, it's, you know, I think a lot of it started when I was coming out of school and getting the top guys out of there. But right now, you know, it's picked up where even that DMV area, they look at Penn State as a home school. You know, obviously we do have Maryland, but, you know, Maryland can't compete with a lot of the things that we have right now. So guys are saying, hey, this is my home school now. And, you know, we're going out there where we have some great recruiters, you know, and it's a hot spot right now. You know, out of like pretty much all the states, that DMV area is just filled with talent. And we have a great reputation, and the guys that are coming from there are coming in and playing. So, you know, it's getting bigger and bigger. And I think that some more of the talent that's coming on our team, you know, is going to be out of that DMV area.
Derek, always a pleasure, my friend. We have a great time always. You are a great addition to what we do. Thank you so much for everything.
All right, thank you.
Derek Williams, Damon Heward, analyst, Washington Network, next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There are lots of ways to ring out the old and ring in the new.
But the best way
is in a new Ford car, truck, or SUV
from Sunbury Motors Ford.
As we count down the days in 2017,
SMC is where you want to be.
But time is running out, so come to the dealer with four city blocks of new Fords. And the dealer voted best in the Valley Reader's Choice for the best car dealership in the Valley for 2 years in a row.
SMC is where you want to be.
With over 88 new Ford trucks with savings up to
$13,500.
SMC is where you want to be for the most trusted SUV brand, the Ford Escape. Choose from 33 new Ford Escapes starting as low as $18,975. And Sunbury Motors Ford has financing as low as 0% for up to 72 months on select models. Plus, during the final days of Ford's year-end sales event, there's now up to $2,000 in total cash savings on specially tagged vehicles on top of the best deals of the season. SMC is where you want to be to ring out the old and ring in the new.
But you have to hurry before the ball drops.
Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to Scottsdale. Sunbury Motors Studio is mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our thanks to Derek Williams, who joined us in the opening half hour. Coming up in this half hour, Damon Heward, the color analyst for the Washington Radio Network. Next half hour, Bob Rondo, the legendary play-by-play voice of Washington football, calling his final game of his 37-year career tomorrow at University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale. And in the final half hour, Jack Hamm will join us here in Scottsdale. Today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. And with a big holiday weekend coming up, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, bowl games, the NFL, you name it, there's going to be so much. And maybe not everybody in the room wants beer. Maybe they want wine coolers. Brewers Outlet has that. Water. They have soft drinks. They also have plenty of snacks. And not only that, they roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. The bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar is indeed, yes, I don't care what year it happens to be, 2017 or in the 2018, the pickle bar is second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Go out and stock up this evening. Make sure you're ready for the Cotton Bowl tonight with Ohio State USC. Make sure you're ready for the Fiesta Bowl tomorrow, Penn State and Washington. Orange Bowl tomorrow night, Miami and Wisconsin. NFL games on Sunday. And, of course, the two playoff games coming up on Monday, the Rose Bowl, Oklahoma, Georgia, and the Sugar Bowl, the nightcap, Alabama, and Clemson. So, yeah, a lot to go to Brewers Outlet for. Make sure you're fully stocked. Do it. This day in sports history, and then Damon Heward, the color analyst for the Washington Radio Network, will join us. 1941, Ray McLean of the Chicago Bears performed a dropkick for an extra point in the NFL. The next one would not happen for 61 years when Doug Flutie did it for the New England Patriots. 1951, Joe DiMaggio announced his retirement from Major League Baseball. In 1959, Tom Landry accepted the position of head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. At one point, Landry led the team to 22 consecutive winning seasons in his 29-year coaching career. Remember, though, Landry's first year, 1960, the Cowboys were 0-11-1. 1969, Vince Lombardi coached his final game. His Redskins lost to the Cowboys 20-10. The Redskins ended that season 7-5-2, which was the first winning season for the Redskins in 14 years. But listen to this, the 7-5-2. That was Vince Lombardi's only year with the Redskins. His first season as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers in 1959. They were 7-5. 1975, John Riggins became the first New York Jets player to gain 1,000 yards in a season. Also in 1975, the great George Blanda from Youngwood here in Pennsylvania, right near Greensburg. His final regular season game, he became the first professional player to reach 2,000 points. He ended up with 2,002 in his 26-year career. 1975 as well, the Buffalo Sabres scored 8 goals in the third period against the Washington Capitals. Sabres won the game 14-2. 1980, Harold Carmichael ended his streak of 127 consecutive games with a reception. 1981, Cincinnati beat Bradley 75-73 in 7 overtimes. That was the longest college basketball game in history. And in 1983, the NBA's Indiana Pacers ended a 28-game losing streak. Awful. We welcome everyone to Scottsdale, where tomorrow Penn State will take on Washington in the Fiesta Bowl. Kickoff set for 4 o'clock Eastern time. We're on the air with the Dietz and Watson tailgate show tomorrow beginning at 2:30. On the Washington side of things, Damon Heward is the color analyst for the Huskies Radio Network. And Damon, welcome. It is great to have you with us here today.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Steve.
I want to start with Bob Rondo. You've been with him now since 2010. This will be his last game. He's going out on his own terms. But, I mean, this is my 18th, 14th year with Dick Girardi. You know what it's like working with somebody every time out. For you, have you gone through some of the emotions yet, or is it something that when the day arrives, knowing it is Bob's last game, that it's going to hit you?
Yeah, you know, the Apple Cup here, which is our big rivalry against Washington State, was the last time he was ever going to call a game in Husky Stadium. So that was actually pretty emotional. And we had an awesome tribute to him and all of his accomplishments. But, yeah, it was pretty tough, you know. He's the voice of Husky football, has been for 37 years. So, you know, when his voice comes over the airwaves in the fall in the Northwest, all is right. And it is going to be a little bit different next season for sure. And obviously this is going to be even more emotional, I think, calling this Fiesta Bowl with him, because this is the last hurrah. And he's a great man, a great Husky, a great talent, and he will be missed.
Yeah, I know Jack and I are anxious to meet you two guys before the game, so we're looking forward to that very much. I want to ask you about, let's start with the position you would know better than anybody. Where has Jake Browning grown, and is there any area where you think Jake Browning has plateaued?
Yeah, you know, it's a big question around here, a lot of people talking about it. You know, why are Jake's numbers down from last year? You know, he's the Pac-12 Player of the Year, and you know, as we all know, this is the ultimate team sport. And when I kind of dig into Jake a little bit and watching, you know, over the course of this season, you know, certainly the numbers aren't there, you know, from 43 touchdowns a year ago to 18 this year. But what's really still there is the efficiency and the fact that, you know, we're winning football games. And, you know, we lost when we lost John Ross to the first round. And then, you know, some huge injuries. Chico McClatcher, our number two receiver, went down week two in the season, and then Hunter Bryant, who was our number two receiver, about week six went down. So he was without a couple of his biggest weapons on the outside. And, you know, we've leaned heavily on our experienced offensive line and 1-2 punch at running back with Miles Gaskin and LaVon Coleman. And so Jake's numbers haven't been as gaudy as they were a year ago. And so some people kind of questioned, you know, his play. But I never have. I think he's been real consistent, super efficient, completing almost 70% of his passes. We are asking him to do a lot more as far as the check with knees and whatnot that he does at the line of scrimmage. So all in all, I think it's been another really good year for Jake, despite his numbers.
The Penn State fans know there's a running back in this game that has three consecutive 1,000-yard seasons, is also an excellent receiver out of the backfield. Oh, wait a minute. I also just described Miles Gaskin. Tell us a little bit about what makes this. I mean, this is the best running back matchup of any bowl game out there. What makes Miles Gaskin a special player to you, Damon?
Yeah, you know, he's not the biggest of guys. He's about 5'10", 190 pounds, maybe soaking wet, but goodness gracious, he has a patience, a vision, and he's got this incredible lateral quickness. And then all of a sudden, you look up, he's made someone downhill 6, 7, 8 yards. I mean, he's just you know, a football player. And you know, as you mentioned, he can catch the ball out of the backfield too, and takes a lot of pride in pass protection. But just a real talented guy. He's been so durable over the course of his career. You know. You know, he's 3,000-yard seasons in a row, just like your guy. So he's a talent. We call him Engine Number 9 around here. And his engine never stops.
I like that. Yeah. That may be stolen on the Penn State network by somebody.
There you go.
Dante Pettis, we know what a great punt returner he is. I'll get to that part in a moment. He's been the leading receiver. What kind of, now John Ross tough guy to really replace as a number one. Where has he been able to replace John Ross as a number one, and is there a couple of areas where it's not quite the same?
Well, you know, when those guys, two guys were together on the field at the same time, it's obviously a huge benefit. You know, who's the defense going to worry about? So I think Dante this year, you know, he's seen some double coverage, safety over the top, that sort of thing. You know, he's the guy that circled on the perimeter for us as that wide receiver, especially, as I mentioned, with all those injuries we had. So, you know, but despite that, he still had 62 catches and 7 touchdowns and it was all conference and all that good stuff. So, you know, we definitely find ways to get him the football. But, you know, you mentioned that return game. That's, you know, he's the best ever in college football returning punts with 9 career punt returns for touchdowns. So just an incredible talent. I've never seen anybody make that first guy miss in a phone booth like he does. I mean, he can be catching a football, a guy within a yard, and right in his face, and not only does he get hit and fumble, he makes a miss. Yep. And then he's just got this glide and stride, and And he's just a beautiful athlete with a great knack for returns, obviously, and a solid receiver, too. A guy who's definitely going to play on Sunday.
I mean, obviously, you know what it's like. You played in the NFL, so you saw a lot of guys with a lot of speed, but no feel for this. What is it about Pettis and his feel for returning punts to go with his natural gifts?
Yeah, I mean, right? I mean, you know, he's been doing it a while. I always think, you know, with experience and repetition that, you know, you can really, you know, develop your craft. But, you know, this year it's just, it amazes me that teams even kick to him because, like I said, he makes that first guy miss and then, you know, he gets in the open field. And really it's an era which is interesting where, you know, I don't know if in the Big Ten it's as prevalent as, you know, these rugby-style punters where, you know, they kind of roll out and they buy time for your cover team
right.
to get downfield. And,
yep.
and you really shouldn't be able to return it the way that he has and the success that he's had. So I think it's even more of a credit to him and his natural ability, you know, doing it in this era of college football with these rugby-style punters that he's able to make guys miss and score touchdowns doing it. It's special.
Yeah, in fact, most of the time you'll see somebody with a rugby punt and it'll land 10, 15 yards in front of the returner and they're just going to let it go by and they'll end up getting
exactly.
a roll. And he picks it up and he runs with it. I mean he'll, you're like, oh, yeah. great. He is something else.
He is. And I'll say this, you know, Coach Peterson, you might not know this, but he coaches the return game. That is his position. Those are his guys. That is his baby. And, you know, in the Pac-12, we talk a lot about three teams that really there's this just huge emphasis on special teams. And that would be us, Utah, and Stanford, where it's just, you know, when you play those teams, you know, you better bring your A game in special teams because those schools take a lot of pride in it. And we really do here, you know, under Coach Pete, take a lot of pride in the special teams, and we've been very good at it.
You had a guy up with the Seahawks for a period of time that played here at Penn State named Jordan Hill. And over the mm-hmm. last 10 years, I know Jack Ham commented that when he would watch Jordan Hill, he would play defensive tackle, but he used his hands like a linebacker. When we watch Vita Vea on tape, we see 340 pounds of rumbling fun in the middle there, and he knows how to use his hands. You see him all the time. What makes him special?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Vita is just such a load. I mean, he is so explosive and fast, and his get-off at his size. And I'm not sure I've seen it before, to be honest with you. I mean, you're going to see a kid, you know, 340 pounds, he'll run sideline to sideline. I mean, he'll chase down a running back and on a screen and make a tackle in the open field, and you marvel at his athleticism, you know, at 6'5", 340 pounds. You know, Steve Entman's maybe the last guy that
right.
could dominate the interior part of the defense, defensive offensive line since we've had around here. So he's just a great kid, works hard, good motor. He, too, does have great hands. But he's just so strong and so explosive. And at that size, it's just, he's been a load for us. I mean, you look at his numbers and you say, oh, he's only got 3.5 sacks, or, you know, whatnot. But he's so disruptive and just been a huge part of our defensive success this year.
You had a fabulous secondary last year. Really good. And a lot of those guys end up getting drafted. It was really good. So less experience back there. But yet, Washington doesn't give up a lot of passing yards, about 185 yards a game somewhere in that neighborhood. Has it been the front seven that's allowed them to be productive, or have they made strides in their own to be productive?
Yeah, you know, the other cool thing about a Chris Peterson program is, you know, it'll be the third series of a game, and all of a sudden we'll, you know, plug in, you know, backup players and, you know, in meaningful moments in a game. And, you know, he's done that to give guys opportunity and experience so when there's injuries or players move on or declare early that, you know, they're ready to roll. And, and we've done a great job with so many of those guys, like a guy like Miles Bryant that played as a true freshman a year ago. Jordan Miller, who got hurt, will not play in this game,
right.
Is a guy that, you know, would play quite a bit last year despite being a backup. And so, you know, these kids are talented. I'll also say Jimmy Lake, our defensive back coach, co-D coordinator, is, I think, one of the best recruiters on the West Coast. You know, he looks for a certain long length player that kind of fits his mold and teaches them the fundamentals. And so, you know, we've had some guys this year, even though they're not only as Byron Murphy and Austin Joyner, they have played really good on the outside at corner, Miles Bryant in the slot. And then really the two safeties, they played a lot of football last year for us, Taylor Rapp and JoJo McIntosh. So they were experienced guys coming into this season that have both taken their game to another level.
Yeah, you'll see the same thing with Penn State. They'll do the same thing, rotate a lot of young guys in second, third series of the game. All of a sudden they're rotating, and same as Chris Peterson does.
Yeah,
when you look, Damon, at Penn State and the chance you've had to look at them, what strikes you right away about them?
Yeah, you know, I think offensively, obviously, Saquon Barkley is a real talent. You know, looking at your quarterback, McSorley, he's a kid that, you know, not afraid to run it. Those QB runs can just be a dagger in college football. The massive, I mean, massive offensive line. You guys have. I mean, these are just road graders. So we know, you know, this will probably be the best offense, you know, we've seen all year. That will be a great challenge. So a lot of talented guys. Obviously, starts with QB and running back, and just a monster offensive line. And then, you know, I think defensively, you know, you guys only give up, you know, 15 points a game. And have done a great job getting out of the gate and holding opponents early in games to minimal points. And so it's an experienced group, you know, a lot of seniors you see there on that defense, especially that D-line and linebackers. So, yeah, it'll be a tough matchup for us. There's no question.
You're going to bring back somebody as the offensive coordinator, but won't be in this game. So how's Chris going to handle that? Committee, or is he going to be the primary play caller? Do you know yet?
Yeah, I honestly don't know how they're going to do that. I know our coaches have been on the road recruiting their tail off here. We kind of get back at it this weekend, hardcore with practice and preparation for Penn State. So couldn't tell you exactly who's going to be doing that. But, yeah, that'll be a challenge for sure with Jonathan Smith moving on to Oregon State. You know, I've got a lot of confidence in Coach Pete and his staff that they'll get that dialed in for the big game.
Oh, no, I mean, no question about that. And you've now had a real chance to be around him. We all saw what he did at Boise, and he was very particular about what he wanted to do with the next step in his career. And I found it very interesting. He chose Washington. And he had other places you and I both know he could have gone, but he chose Washington. Mm-hmm. What makes it work for him in Seattle?
Well, I think a big reason he chose it is he came up here in 2013. It was the grand opening of our new remodeled Husky Stadium. And we beat the Broncos that day. I don't think like he's ever been beat. And so, you know, right then and there, he's like, oh, wow, this you know, and he'll talk about it all the time that when he grew up, you know, as a young guy in California in the 80s and certainly Husky football and Don James was a dominating presence on the West Coast. So he knew all about the history and tradition of this place. And then I think, you know, the big factor was just the location and also what the University of Washington academically has to offer for kids. I mean, it was just a natural fit. So big-time program, West Coast. A lot of connections out here. He's recruited the West Coast over the course of his career, and knew the talent and that could be recruited here, and the history of winning. So he's come here and he's put Husky football back on the map. Two back-to-back 10-win seasons for the first time since '90 and '91, and it's obviously just been a great fit for him.
Damon, an absolute pleasure. We thank you so much for your time today. I'm really looking forward to seeing Bob and you at the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah, I look forward to meeting you guys, too, down there in the desert and getting some sunshine. It'll be awesome.
That sounds great. Thanks, Damon.
Okay. You got it.
Damon Heward, color analyst for the Washington Radio Network. Great to have him on the show today. Coming up in the next half hour, the guy that he referenced at the beginning of that, Bob Rondo. 37 seasons. Bob Rondo has been the play-by-play voice of Washington football and basketball. Tomorrow will be his final broadcast on the network. He's retiring on his own terms. And Bob will join us in the next half hour to talk about the current Washington football team and about his legendary career. That'll be in the next half hour. Final half hour, Jack Ham to analyze Penn State and break down the Nittany Lions as we get ready for this one tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Airtime is set for 2:30. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Stop in there now. Stock up for the big weekend. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15. In Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.